Well, it's a great joy to be with you all here this morning. I think over the last 15 years or so, I've had the great joy to worship here several times. And I don't have the number, but I know I've offered the message here at least twice before. It is a great delight to be back here. Great delight to sing that last hymn with you all, which is one of my favorites, and I think really leads into the message that I have today. It says there in my mini bio, for the last 6.5 years, I've been one of the chapel ministers at Wafers Chapel, a wonderful Swedenborgian ministry in many ways. I find in recent months at the chapel, when I've been called to offer a prayer, I always remember to dedicate my ministry to the Lord and to dedicate the ministry of Wafers Chapel, to give it to the Lord. I'm much more mindful as time goes on that our Creator is the source of all love and all wisdom. Any of the good that we are able to do, any of the wisdom with which we are able to act, it comes to us as a gift from our Creator. And I always ask the Lord, say, Lord, this is your ministry that I'm doing. This is your ministry here at Wafers Chapel. All I ask is that you let me know what it is that you would like to do here with your ministry. So first of all, I think here I'd like to thank the Lord for the ministry here in the corner of Washington and Lyon Street here in San Francisco. I won't make so bold, I will not make so bold as to give this ministry to the Lord. That's my place, but I think I'm here in part to invite you to remember that this is the Lord's ministry here. It belongs to Him, and I invite you to give this ministry to the Lord. Give your ministries to the Lord as individual followers, and to ask the Lord, what do you want us to do here with your ministry? There's a quote from Manuel Swedenborg. It's in your bulletins. It has really an image that runs throughout Swedenborg's writings. The image in it runs through all his writings, as I said. It's just one example of where he says this, that in heaven, the Lord, it's the resurrected Jesus Christ, the Lord is this at the center of heaven. And all the angels are always facing him. And wherever an angel turns, the Lord is there before him. And Swedenborg writes, anyone who has faith in the Lord and charity toward the neighbor is a church in particular, and the church in general is composed of such. It is wonderful that every angel, in whatever direction he turns his body and face, sees the Lord in front of him, the Lord being the Son of the angelic heaven, and this appears before their eyes when they are engaged in spiritual meditation. The same is true in respect to the sight of his Spirit of anyone in the world in whom the church is. But because this sight is veiled over by the natural sight, to which the other senses add their allurements, and because the objects of these senses are such things as pertain to the body and of the world, this state of the person's spirit is unknown. This seeing the Lord in front, however one may turn, originates in this, that all truth, which is the source of wisdom and faith, and all good, through which love and charity exist, are from the Lord, and are the Lord's in a human being. Consequently, every truth of wisdom is like a mirror in which the Lord is seen, and every good of love is an image of the Lord. This is the cause of this wonderful appearance. You may notice there at the beginning of that quote, Swedenborg gives a definition of the church. If the church is any person in whom is love and charity toward the neighbor, and the church, in the broad sense, the universal sense for Swedenborg, it's the almost the invisible community of all people around the world that are in love of the Lord and in charity toward the neighbor. I think that really is a universal church. It transcends. It includes and trends Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Judaism, Christianity. It's that church in the very broadest sense. All of those. All of us alive today in this world that are seeking to bring about God's reign, love of God and love of neighbor, we are part of that church and working together, whatever our external faith tradition, whatever church we go to, we are part of that church. And then notice, though, that's the two extremes of the church. Each individual person, the church in the very broadest. In between, I think, are indeed our religious traditions around the world, the individual churches, the individual congregations, and the denominations that we belong to. What about that middle level? Gathered together for worship, gathered together in congregations. I think a church, in that sense, is a place where we can come together and turn toward the Lord again. Open up to that part of us which is indeed the church. I chose that reading from Exodus because my theme was to be being led by the Lord. I remembered how in the Old Testament the Israelites were led by the Lord, by the pillar of cloud by the day and the pillar of fire by night. What I found, and I often find this when I choose a Bible reading for that kind of reason, very often I'm surprised by what I find there. And it opened up some new thoughts. I thought, that is really a strange reading there. It's very different from how we see a church these days. A church, that their tabernacle, it was too sacred to go into. It was so full of the glory of the Lord that Moses couldn't enter it. And if Moses couldn't enter it, then I don't think anyone else could. And I think how opposite that is. And I'm kind of using it now as by way of contrast to point out, I think, what church is for us these days. I've come often to think. Worship, the congregations that we join into, our lives are so busy. We're in the information age, which means there are things asking for our attention 24/7. We very naturally want to take on lots of activities, lots of responsibilities. Our lives become very busy and full of agendas, and it can become very distracting. And then we gather together in worship. So I always think of that as a time out from the busyness and hectic life, a time to reconnect with our heart's deepest desires, a time to reconnect with the Spirit. This place. Too sacred to enter, just the opposite. We enter here to catch the sacred. Such a... I'd forgotten quite how small this was. Since the last time I was here, the light's a little bit brighter than I remembered, but this is such a intimate space with the natural wood and the fire in the back. It's a place to come and feel at home, come to, again, take a break from our lives. I often say, it's safe, it's okay. For the course of 1 hour of worship, or if you're really daring, even for one day. For 1 hour or for one day, just to let your worries go. Let your agenda wait. Because the truth is, Monday morning, tomorrow, all of your problems, all your cares, all your anxieties, all your to-do list, it'll be perfectly fine and waiting for you. You're having ignored it for an hour or a day, won't hurt it at all. So it's perfectly safe for the time of worship to let go, to let go of all of that and offer yourself to the Lord. I have to say, I just know from personal experience, I mean, that's easier said than done. That church in the particular, I also have a shift in that reading from Swedenborg. He says, anyone who's in faith and charity is the church. Later on, though, he talks about people in whom the church is, which I think is a little bit probably more honest. I think at my best, I'm able to offer my services to the Lord, see myself as a minister. I would suggest to you that what he's saying here, each one of you is a ministry of the Lord. And that ministry belongs to the Lord. And what you're doing for the Lord belongs to Him. As I say, I don't do that 24/7, but it's always my goal and prayer to offer myself for the Lord. I think very often, I think of this as my life, and I want to do the things that I enjoy, and I want to learn the things I'm curious about learning. I want to experience the experiences I want to have, go on the travels I want to travel. I think of my life as mine. There's a real funny dichotomy there in the spiritual life. I think if we have our spiritual minds are open to the Lord's wisdom, it tells us, you know, we're at our happiest. When we give ourselves in love and charity to neighbor, we're at our happiest when we're serving the Lord, and yet at the same time we have these egos that insist, no, this is my life. I extend that to our denominations. Our denomination, Swedenborg Church, and our individual congregations. I really think it would be wise of us to remember, this is not our church, and this is not our denomination. It belongs to the Lord. It belongs to the Lord, and it's for us to ask the Lord. You've gathered us together. We're studying together the teaching that came from Emanuel Swedenborg. How would you like us to minister to the world? What is your ministry here that we can do? And I grew up Catholic. I became a Swedenborgian as an adult. I've been a Swedenborgian, I think, for somewhere between 20 and 25 years now. And attending conventions and meetings of convention, it's been this similar conversation over and over. Why are we so small? How can we grow? What can we be doing? How can we support our churches? How can we have ministers? How can we pay ministers? How can we? I think a part of my message is, you know, that's anxiety speaking. That's seeing these churches as ours and belonging to us. It's the kind of anxiety that we feel when we feel like something that's precious to us might be taken away. But I really say, you know, it's I think we fall into a trap. We think of our denomination or our churches as a set of problems to be solved, as if it's for us to solve these problems and to figure it out. I think the message I have is no. No, it belongs to the Lord. It's not for us to figure it out. It's not a problem to be solved. We've been given the gift of this ministry by the Lord, and it's our role to ask the Lord, what would you have us do here and now? What is the ministry you have for us in this place? I would extend it. You know, I sometimes think in one of the traps we fall into in the Swedenborg Church, I think if we were conscious of this, we would realize crazy, but I sometimes think we act as if Swedenborg were our Swedenborg. Swedenborg belongs to us. We're the Swedenborg Church. We're the ones that have the Green 30. We're the ones that know what it says. He's our Swedenborg. He's not our Swedenborg. He doesn't belong to us. Swedenborg belongs to the Lord. It's the Lord's Emmanuel Swedenborg. It's the Lord's new church. Those writings, they're a great gift. They're a great lesson for us, a great resource. I personally never want to get caught inside of them. I always think, well, yeah, that's what Swedenborg said in 1750 or 60. What does Swedenborg think now? Is the question I often ask. And I often ask them, is he still wearing that wig? What does he look like? I think he must be a being of light. I know Swedenborg says in his writings that spiritual time is different from natural time, but he's been there for 250 years. I'm sure he's involved amazingly. I'm sure he's a being of light. I have a medium friend that contradicts me. He says, when Swedenborg comes in, he's still wearing the wig. I'm hoping that's just so that we can recognize him when he appears to us. I'm hoping when I go to the spiritual world, he's a being of light and he's young again. And I personally, don't take this wrong, Emmanuel, I hope that you've dropped the wig. He's not our Swedenborg. He's the Lord Swedenborg. He continues to live on. I think it's for us to simply ask the Lord, what do you want us to do with your Swedenborgian church? What do you want us to do with your Wayfarers Chapel? What do you want us to do with this church on Lion Street? I think our attitude then becomes one of just keeping our eyes open. Just keeping our eyes open. When at Wayfarers Chapel, I mean, people ask me, you know, come there, ask for prayer. I think, you know, part of our ministry is have a place of prayer. When people invite me and have real curiosity about the Swedenborgian teachings, I think, you know, that's a resource. So we can find ways to spread that teaching. People come in times of need, we're there as a community of people that can listen and hear and understand people, meet them where they are, and not judge. I don't know if I can do that for you here and now, but I would suggest that is the mindset, to open your eyes, to notice who the Lord sends you. Who does the Lord send to you? And when the Lord sends someone to you, what are they asking for? What are they looking for? And then go into your heart and say, is it something that I can give? This is what the Lord is asking me to give. I very strongly believe that how big should the Swedenborgian church be? How big should any congregation be? I have no idea. I think that's the Lord's to know. I think it's for us to trust that if we hear the call that the Lord brings us and do the ministry that the Lord is asking us to do, we'll have the resources that we need. We'll be the right size that we need to be. Growth is not a problem to be solved. Our outreach is not a problem to be solved. It's listening to the Lord and responding to what he says. I almost hesitated to pick that reading from Mark. It's got to be like New Testament 101. It's got to be like the most basic passage from the Bible, at least in my understanding of it. Scholars do believe that not unanimous, but does seem the weight of scholarly opinion is that Gospel of Mark is in fact the first to be written. That quote from Jesus is the first saying in the Gospel of Mark. You can reasonably take it to be the first word of Jesus to us, the beginning of his message, the summary of his message. I'm not going to take it apart now. I've preached entire sermons on just that that opening saying, that the time has been fulfilled, the kingdom is near. Repent and believe the good news. But I think what's going on there in some is, if we believe the good news, we believe that we are angels in training, that we believe that God created this world to create a heaven from the human race. We can believe that's happening in ways that we can and cannot see. If we believe that good news and offer our ministry as individuals and as congregations, that's the repentance, that's the turning around that's called there. simply saying, Lord, we're putting this into your hands. Let me know what you would have us do here. And then, of course, he follows with, come, follow me. You know, it's not a place. It's not a place that we're called to. It's a journey. It's a journey of following the Lord. I feel excited for you. Mm-hmm. I do. I feel excited for you. I know you're in a quote-unquote interim period, with all that means. But I'm praying, and I'm excited. I'm praying that you'll find this is a time when you can go within, you can consult with each other, share from your hearts and your minds, and listen. Listen for the call of the Lord. Listen to what the Lord says, that his ministry is here, that he's inviting you to do with him. May the Lord be with you all in this process. Amen.
Amen. Amen.